Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. And but Mike tell you he just hitting the St. John's, huh?
Yeah, I'm a little jealous on that this morning. I was gonna meet him after the show, but I gotta go pick up mom's ashes today, so think that's important.
Yeah.
You know, might take her on a couple trips. So Mom, you wanna go to Georgia? I'm not making fun of the fact my mother passed away, but she was
but she'll be with you then.
Yeah, she was. She always lived vicariously through me. She would always, I used to talk to her every day after trips.
Oh yeah.
So, she was always supportive of whatever my brother and I wanted to do. She was an amazing lady, you know, especially to put up with me for 50 something years. You know, I was just joking with her one day. I was like, Mom, I said, you've got to be the most patient woman I've ever met. So I said, I still haven't found one patient enough like you to marry, you know, and she'd laugh. It was always funny. She's a great lady. So she'll be missed dearly.
Yep.
But, you know, it's with Mike fishing out there today, I know he's looking for the bull drum, you know, and I'm sure they're going to catch a bull red as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah, they're generally in the same areas.
It makes me kind of sad. I haven't fished for them in so long, you know, and I want to go back and see if Tebow's there, the one I call Tebow. And then I got one we call Rex that looks like he has an R on his on his tail. But caught a lot of smaller reds with tons of spots this year. Mm. You know, rat reds that are just loaded up, you know. And I'm like.
And they say that whatever they're born with, they have those.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we've caught some at the jetties that have like 60, 70 spots on them.
Yeah.
I mean, just covered in them.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I don't usually see the rat reds with that many spots on them. But, you know, I mean, if they you know, are born with however many they have, whether it's 6, 8, or 10 or whatever, I mean, why don't we see those that are got 60 or 70?
Yeah, have 60 or 70 on them.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which reminds me, the spot tournament is coming up. I've got that. Let's see here. And I mentioned it last weekend. If you're, you know, wanting to get in the spot tournament, I have it somewhere right here. The information, here we go. It's the Jacksonville Marine Charities Redfish Roundup Spots Tournament, May the 15th. So they say the prize structure is valued at $15,300. I don't know what that means for first, second, third, or whatever. It's $75 per angler. Captain's meeting is on May 13th, and the tournament's on the 15th. They have a lady angler also is $25 per lady. Junior angler is $15 per angler. And for more information, you can get it safeharborspot.com. That's safeharborspot.com. And you can get on there and get more information. Also, online registration is open on that site also. So, safeharborspot.com.
That was always a fun tournament.
Yep.
Something different, you know.
Yeah, I got a few checks in it whenever we fished it. And, well, I have one time we went out there and caught, and this might be a hint for some people who are fishing that tournament. You know, they also they put a time on when you bring your fish to, well, we could still call it the weigh-in, but you can call it the count-in or whatever, you know. But anyway, I had some people with me. I had a man and his, I think it was 10-year-old son or 9-year-old son. And so we went out, you know, fishing it. And at about 10:30 that morning, I think it was pretty early, we caught an 8-spotter.
Nice.
And I said, you know, let's take him in. And he goes, well, what's won the tournament before? And I said, well, you know, this has been, you know, all 32 spots, whatever.
Yeah. The
tournament record was 75 spots, but that was unheard of, you know. But it was, you know, usually they're like 19, 25, you know, 32 spots, you know, wins it. I said, but, you know, if you're talking about getting your son in on this thing, you know, you can get a pretty good check if we go ahead and take it in.
Yeah,
and in.
Exactly. Goes,
well, we got all this time. Let's just keep fishing. So, you know, we kept fishing. We'd catch them, you know, with two spots and catching them with three spots, you know, another one with two spots. And he's like, you know, what do we do? I said, well, you know, I've mentioned taking this thing in there. I said, now we're looking at 2 o'clock, you know, in the afternoon. I said, I think we better go ahead and take this thing in there, you know. So, you know, I had him in the live well. So we take him in to weigh him in. And we get there, and it was four other 8-spotters already turned in.
Wow.
And we went from $2,000 down to $600.
Whoops.
And that's because. Now, the first one, and I checked out, the first one that was turned in was 11:09.
Yeah.
So when we caught that one at 10:30, we were probably 15 minutes from the dock. You know, we could have been on the $2,000 range, you know, but... You know, it is what it is. You know, all tournaments take chances on it. But, I was kind of wanting the boy to,
yeah,
you know, to really get his name up there and, you know, and have a good check. But it didn't work out that way. But so if you ever catch one like that and you're kind of wondering about it, I would take it in and weigh it in. I would definitely do that.
You can weigh more than one in, correct?
Back then it was one per boat.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what it is now.
I mean, I didn't know if you could weigh in and then catch one that was more and come back in.
Not back then, but yeah. You know, they change these tournaments back and forth. And I think with this one, with the $75 per angler, I think you can pay like 2 entries or whatever and have, mm-hmm. you know, weigh in 2 fish. You weigh in a fish for every entry. So, you know,
gotcha.
Instead of you being like with your buddy and you're paying $75 for a boat with 2 or 3 people.
Yeah.
You know, you can go ahead and pay $75 per person. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So, Mike sent a picture. I guess he was talking about, you know, the bluefish and the ladyfish I caught.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent this picture of 2 jacks on one lure.
Nice. Nice.
Oh, yeah. So he probably already was talking about that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
You got 2 jacks on one lure. One on the front hook and looks like one on the middle hook.
Yeah.
I mean, one on the back hook, one on the middle hook, looks like. But, yeah, I mean, you know, that's another fish that I love to catch. You know, a lot of people kind of, you know, probably frown on jacks, you know, because you don't take them home to eat them or whatever. But, I mean, to me, they're just so fun to catch, you know.
Yeah, the Duval Trevally is what I call them. They're so much fun.
Yeah, they are. I mean, and especially if you get into, you know, used to we see these, you go down the intercoastal or even in the river, and you'd see these schools of like 8, 10, 11-pound jacks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was a blast, you know.
Yeah.
Hook them up, scream and drag. I mean, so much fun. Now you see, it seems like you see a school of them, and they're like, you know, 2 pounds, something like that. It's like, you know. And some of them even smaller than that. But I know when you get into ladyfish, sometimes you'll have jacks mixed in with them, and they seem to be small,
mm-hmm.
you know. And
every year around the flood tides when we're fly fishing,
mm-hmm.
I always have an 8-weight tide with like a mullet pattern fly or something like that. And, you know, when you're running from spot to spot or when the tide starts dumping out, all the jacks start showing up. So I like to hand the fly rod to them when we get into them. And, you know,
yeah.
You catch a 5 to a 10-pound jack on a fly rod and an 8-weight, it's a blast.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and especially the big ones. We call the big ones the 1 and 2 hour jacks, the ones off the beach.
I love it. I love it. When we come back, I'm going to kind of explain a little bit. If you go out there and start fishing for these giant drum, I want to kind of explain a little bit what you do to them, take care of them, and release these fish. You know, I know the law says you can keep one per person over 24 inches, any size. 25, 26, 27 inches are still okay to eat. They're still good to eat. But myself, I don't recommend trying to keep a 60, 70 pounder unless you like to cut around all the worms in them and stuff like that. But my main thing about catching those big fish like that is they can have a lot of babies to help supply our stock. We'll be back.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mandarin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and blackened mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
The Wizard of the Waterways.
And we're back. I'm going to remind everybody, get a hold of Country Caterers, Tommy Perriman at CountryCatersBarbecue.com. And they supplied the meal after my brother's funeral yesterday. And, oh, my gosh, brisket, pulled pork, turkey, and smoked sausage, along with all kinds of sides. And those guys are great. Tommy Perriman's great. It was, but get a hold of him at CountryCatersBarbecue.com, or you can call him at 352-473-3728. That's 352-473-3728. And let me tell you, that's some good food. That's some good food. Sure appreciate that, Tommy. And
that's making me hungry now.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. Oh, I brought a big old thing home too.
Did you?
Yeah, that I had for dinner last night. Around 8 o'clock last night, got all fed up.
Yeah, that's what we need to do next time we go to Georgia, is take a couple pork butts up there.
Oh yeah,
slow cook them. I got to get my brother up there. He's the chef.
Talking about how to take care of these giant drum, if you catch them, it's sort of like a bull red. Mm-hmm. Of course, a giant drum's a little thicker fish, so you know, you want something a little bit longer than those little tiny vent tools. I don't know if you've ever seen the little tiny vent tools. They're only like about an inch and a half long. Sometimes they just won't reach in there, that swim bladder on a giant drum, because you're talking 60, 80, 90-pound drum. You know, with redfish, we can take and vent them, and then like just torpedo them down, you know, let them, and I don't throw them down. I always just tell people to raise it up high, you know, over your waist and just let it slide out of your hand head first down, you know, mm-hmm. and those fish hit that water. And when they're hitting it head first, they can get water behind their tail and they just head right on down to the bottom again.
Yeah.
But with those swim bladders, what happens with the swim bladder is, you know, when they're down deep, I mean, when anywhere from like 35 on up to 50 foot deep, when they're down that deep like that, the pressure of the water is, you know, on that swim bladder also. It's the pressure of the water's on the fish. When you're fighting this fish and you pull them up, the pressure, you know, lightens up as they're coming up to the surface. So their swim bladder expands. So you want to take those fish and vent them. And with a giant drum being different, as I've said, different than the bull reds, you want to ease those fish down in the water after you vent them and, you know, hold them there and revive them. And because they're not as, it's tough or
hardy, yeah.
Yeah. They're not as hardy as a redfish. So you don't want to take him and try to just torpedo him down. You want to let him kind of revive a little bit more. And of course, the less time you are taking photos of them, the better, you know, they are also. I always, when we get them in the boat, first thing I do is vent them. Then I take the hook out of them. And that way you got all this time where that air's coming out. And take the hook out, take a picture. You know, I've noticed how some people do it is they pull the fish out, they unhook him, take the photos, lay him on the floor, try to vent him, then put him in the water and all that. Well, you get a lot more time with that, you know, air coming out of their swim bladder if you'll vent that fish first. And then by the time you get the picture of him, set him down in the water, you know, hold him. I always take the boga grip and, you know, hold him by the lip. And that way I, you know, hold his top fin up with my other hand so that he's kind of upright and feels like he can take off. You'll start seeing his tail moving around a little bit more. Then you'll start seeing him putting his side fins out a little bit like he's starting to swim a little bit. And the first or second time he tries to jerk away with that boga grip, he's ready to go. So I release the boga grip, and I usually grab him by the tail, release that boga grip, and kind of just push him a little bit, you know, down, head first down. And we have very good success with saving those fish.
I'm going to try that. Have you seen the tool they use for snapper?
Mm-hmm.
I've got a sash weight the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try that. The gentleman who makes the one that's the hook that's extended down, not the one that has the clip on it.
Mm-hmm.
But he makes them, and we used them for snapper, and they work great. You know, mm-hmm. all you have to do is get them. You know, every 30 feet is a different atmosphere.
Right.
So, you know, when we're fishing in, you know, say 40 feet of water, if you can get him down below that 30 feet mark,
mm-hmm.
you know, he should just swim right off of it.
Yeah.
So I want to try it because it's, you know.
and what that tool does, for the people that don't understand what we're talking about, is when you lower that fish back down and you get him below that 30, 35 foot mark, the pressure down there is a whole lot different. So the pressure itself can actually, you know, squeeze onto that swim bladder and it helps that fish, you know, down there like that. He's got that more pressure and it's not as bad. If you try to just put him in the water without venting him at the surface and try to revive him, a lot of times he'll pull away from you. You let him go, and then he goes belly up and swims around in circles. That means he needs to be vented. You need to get, you know, get back on that fish, vent him, and get him back down in that water. But with that, I forget what they call that tool. But anyway, to send him back down like that, I don't even know if you have to vent him, do you?
No, you don't have to vent him. They actually hooks through their lip.
Uh-huh.
And then as it goes down, once the fish hits that certain level, when you when you pull up on it, you know, you can mark the line, mm-hmm. so you know how deep you're going. And then once it gets down to that level, all you do is kind of lift up and it slides right out,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he's gone. I mean, he's back down there where he should be.
Yeah,
you know, it's kind of like
pulling him and it's keeping him on that, you know, keeping mm-hmm. him hooked up on that as it's pulling him down.
So, yeah. It's like a 6 to 8 pound sash weight mm-hmm. that I'll use. You know, it's kind of like us trying to swim with a life jacket on.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing with them when they blow up. I guess the nitrogen builds up in their swim bladder mm-hmm. like it. We get the bends if we come up too quick.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, in divers, they have to put them back down or put them in a pressure chamber to release to let that nitrogen compress mm-hmm. back down and slowly gas off. But those fish, you know, it's like you were saying, it's important for us to take care of them. I mean, they're a vital resource for us to have to catch, plus all the spawn that comes out of them. So mm-hmm. all the keeper sizes that we get.
And I think, you know, I mean, there was a rash years ago of a lot of people keeping them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe more people now are understanding, you know, that they're full of parasites, those big old, you know, they're 50, 60-year-old fish. So maybe we have, you know, more people that's realizing that and releasing them because, you know, this last year and this year, I've seen the drum population building back up mm-hmm. again. And, you know, for a while there, like 4 or 5 years ago, I mean, you could really tell the drum population was going down.
Yeah.
You know? But I think last year and this year, you can see that that's helping. And I think it's, I mean, I contribute it to, you know, the people who are taking care of these fish and not keeping them for, you know, to eat. Because, I mean, once you kill that fish, you haven't just stopped him from spawning this year. I mean, you stopped him from spawning next year and the year after and the year after. So you can imagine how many baby fish that fish could have. And once you stop that spawn, you know, by killing that big fish, you know. But and I understand some people are like, you know, don't mess with my drum fishing. We like to keep them and eat them. You know, it's legal to do it. You know, people can do it if they want. That's fine. I've always looked at the point where if a fish is legal, I mean, they've got that rule for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
My preference is I wish that they would put like a 30-inch top limit on them, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, being that you can keep 5 per person of a normal size drum, I mean, that's still quite a bit of meat.
Yeah, I you know, up to about, like you said, 26, 28 inches
mm-hmm.
is a great – they're so much bigger than a redfish body mass-wise, and they fight so much harder.
Yeah.
You know, I love catching the mm-hmm. the smaller black drum.
Yeah.
You know, they fight hard. They're great table fare. You know, I prefer black drum way over redfish, mm-hmm. you know.
And you take a 27-inch red. He could run anywhere, well, if he's real skinny, less than 7 pounds. But,
mm-hmm.
but I mean, I've seen him 8, 8.5 pounds.
Yeah.
For a 27-inch red normal, I'd say probably 7 to 7.5 pounds. And then you take a 27-inch drum, you're talking 10 and a half, 11 pounds.
Yeah.
You know, that's the big difference of them, you know.
Yeah.
So quite a bit more meat on them. And,
white, you know, sweet, flaky. Yeah, yeah, it's good mm-hmm. meat.
Yeah.
Yep. Mike Conley got to try some when we caught, him and I caught a couple nice drum. And I said, he looked at me and I go, that's going in the box. He's like, really? I go, yeah, I don't keep very many fish, but that one's going in the box. So I sent, you know, I cleaned it when we got back and sent some home with him. And mm-hmm. he's like, now I know why you like black drum.
Yeah.
I mean, mm-hmm. you know. And,
you know, in places, people consider them as more of a trash fish.
Yeah.
And that's weird.
Well, they did that with cobia for years, too. Yeah. And now poor cobia is like everybody in the world wants to go out and massacre the cobia to eat them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's, I don't know, the trash fish thing in the years ago, it's like. Mm. I've tried all kinds of fish, you know, and there's very few I don't like. I'm not a big fan of some of the oily fish.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll take black drum any day, that and flounder, of course, but
that's like me. I don't Spanish mackerel, king mackerel. I do not even want to eat one.
Yeah. I like Spanish.
And, you know, I know a lot of people eat them.
Yeah. I like Spanish sauteed with tomatoes, Kalamata olives, garlic, onions.
Yeah.
It's good. And you eat the skin. You know, so you just fillet it off and cut it in chunks.
Yeah.
But if you throw it over some rice or some cabbage, you know, I'm getting hungry.
Yeah, we keep talking about this. Give us a call, 222-8255. We'll be back after this.
600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Members of Congress from both parties were at the Mexico border on Friday as the number of unaccompanied children continues to grow. Both Democrats and Republicans from the state of Texas and elsewhere were on hand at the border to stress that it is, in fact, a growing humanitarian crisis despite denials from the White House. The commanding general of the District of Columbia National Guard is becoming the House's first African-American sergeant-at-arms. Major General William Walker will lead House security measures as Congress is still dealing with the aftermath of the January 6th attack on the Capitol and figuring out how to keep lawmakers safe. Walker was closely involved with the security that day as he sent troops to back up the overwhelmed Capitol Police. On Wall Street, the Dow on Friday was up by 453 points, the NASDAQ up 161, the S&P 500 up 65. This is SRN News.
Cool, clean water is essential to life. Children in Nicaragua right now have to walk 8 to 10 miles every day to find clean water and then carry it back to their families. And they have to do it every day. The water accessible to these families are either shared with farm animals or highly contaminated, which causes waterborne illness. Your simple donation of $25 will help them get clean, safe water in their own villages. Just $25 will make a huge difference in their lives. Will you save lives? These children are growing up in rural Nicaragua with no access to clean water. Imagine waking up without access to clean water. No coffee, no shower, no cooking. These families simply need clean water to drink. A basic necessity. Transform lives by donating today at crosscatholic.org/transform. crosscatholic.org/transform. A plumbing problem is an immediate problem. You can't wait around for a convenient time for a plumber to stop by. Roland Reisch Plumbing is Jacksonville's award-winning get-it-done-right-away plumber. Call as soon as you see a problem. Call 904-260-7059. Whether the problem is large or small, routine or a middle-of-the-night emergency, Roland Reisch Plumbing is standing by to get it done right, on time, and at the right price. Call 904-260-7059. Your friends and neighbors have relied on Roland Reisch Plumbing for years. Roland's motto is, have a leak? No need to wait a week. Call Roland Reisch Plumbing at 904-260-7059. Check them at plumbingjacksonville.com. Make Roland Reisch Plumbing your plumber. Gives you peace of mind knowing somebody's standing by ready to help you 24/7. Roland Reisch Plumbing, 904-260-7059.
Are you worried about working till you drop, losing your job, or not being able to retire? Lifestyles Unlimited members learn how to leave those worries behind. Tune in to the Del Walmsley Radio Show and discover life-changing information, like the principles we use to provide for our families and run our businesses, why you should have real estate in your portfolio, 5 ways real estate makes you money, and a whole lot more.
Weeknights at 9 on WBOB, AM 600 and FM 101.1. The Answer.
How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
Partly sunny days this weekend and mostly cloudy nights with daytime highs near 90s, lows into the middle 60s all week. Mostly cloudy Monday to Tuesday night, high Monday 75 up to 83 on Tuesday, and up to about a 40% chance of showers both Monday night and Tuesday.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back. And so anyway, did Leonte not talk about what he did?
I'm not going there. I'll let him.
Okay.
I think Leon should call in and talk about that.
He probably won't. So
I don't know. He posted it on another forum. So
did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Right. So yeah. I mean, if
he might would.
Let's then. Put it this way: if you haven't done this and you're a charter captain, it's going to happen eventually. Something like that's going to happen. So I remember,
it's like, I was kind of surprised at one point. It's been several years now, like 3-4 years ago. I was at the tip of the jetties in the January. It was water temperature was pretty cold. It was 50-something degrees. And I get up on the front of the boat, and this is before I got a stealth charger. And, my trolling motor didn't have enough juice to keep me anchored out there, so I had to put the anchor down. And so we're fixing to leave to head back in, and I get up on the bow, and I didn't see this boat coming, but this guy cuts right across the bow, you know. And I had untied the anchor, fixing to pull it up.
Mm-hmm.
And he cut across there, and I see him coming, you know. So I tie the rope back down and, you know, tie it back on the cleat to let the waves go by. And that second wave hit, and then me standing up on the bow, I reach down, you know, I've got that tub that I keep my anchor rope and anchor in and everything, because these anchor lockers aren't big enough to hold a rock anchor. So anyway, I reached down there to kind of steady myself with that tub, and the thing had been in the sun for so long.
Oh, did it break?
It was brittle, and it just fell apart, and I went over head first, right in the water.
Oof.
And the water was cold.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was cold. So anyway, I popped back up about 10 feet from the boat, you know, got my cell phone on my hip, wallet, everything, you know. I popped back up, and the guys were like, oh, my God, what do we do? What do we do? I said, you know, and I kind of started laughing. And I've jumped off a bunch of boats. I mean, we used to go down to Lake Santa Fe when my dad had his place down in Lake Santa Fe. We'd take my boat and his boat, go out and anchor up in the middle of the lake, and we'd go out there and just, you know, dive off the boat and swim and all that stuff, you know. Didn't even think about those big old alligators was in Lake Santa Fe, but, you know, we would do that and jump off the boats and have a good time. But, I hadn't before then fell off one. And so anyway, when I fell off of it, I came in, was talking, and Captain Mike Darvo was in here with me that day. And, you know, I started talking about I want to explain something just to show you how easy and how quick something can happen.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, the guys was all hollering, what do we do? What do we do? I said, I got a swim ladder back here. I mean, you know, a ladder on the back on this little swim platform. So I just swim back to the back of the boat, you know, and let the ladder down and climb in the boat. And so it was a good thing we're going, because I was like froze stiff by
then, yeah,
you know. And so I hadn't had my jacket on, which was good. And because I was working, you know, unhooking fish and all that stuff. So anyway, I put my jacket on to wear it back in, you know, to come back in. Of course, it was soaked by the time I got back to the boat ramp. But I started talking about it on the air, and Mike was like, I'm surprised you mentioned that. So, because I just wanted people to know that things can happen like
yeah.
that. And I said, I don't know if it's ever happened. And, you know, and then I get a text from Captain Kirk. He said he's fell off his twice. I get another text from Steve Crowder. He said he's fell off of his a couple times.
Yeah, I did it up at the Dames Point that day with my client. He was a cancer patient,
mm-hmm.
going through a lot of treatments. He didn't, just him and I. And I have a real big net that I use for bull reds, so that I can net them and keep them in the water and unhook them and then pull them out, vent them, you know, get a quick picture and release them. And he moved it, and I turned and tripped over it, didn't see it, and did a complete flip out of the boat, lost sunglasses, hat, destroyed my remotes. You know, the cell phone was in the boat. I always leave it in the boat. But, you know, and, of course, I go in, and the current's smoking. We're not seeing another boat. You know, the only day I'm out there, I don't see any boats coming by is when I'm going to fall in. So anyway, I come up, and from diving, you're taught to put your hands above your head when you come up so you don't hit anything.
Yeah.
Well, I come up right underneath the boat.
Oh, wow.
I feel my way back and feel the motor and pull myself around. And in the Hughes Redfishers, it has a handle on the side. And my adrenaline is pumping now. So I reach over and grab it. And the gentleman on the boat grabbed a hold of my shirt, you know. And I mean, I just just heaved myself in the boat. And he's like, I'm glad I was here to save you. I'm like, I'm glad you were too. But every time somebody gets on my boat, the first thing I tell them is, see these red cushions? I usually have two throwables on the mm-hmm. boat. I said, if anybody goes in the water, first thing you do is throw them that immediately.
Which didn't happen.
You know, he actually had it in his hand.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he picked it up. Yeah. But, you know, the worst part is you should have a line on it.
Yeah.
So that it can be retrieved if they miss.
Yeah. Yeah, which we don't think about, actually.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't have a line on mine either.
So did they pass the law about the leashes?
No, not yet.
Okay. Because I have one on my boat. Leon gave everybody. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gave them to everybody. What we're talking about is it's called the captain's leash or surf leash or whatever. It's like a surfboard leash for your kill switch of your boat.
Mm-hmm.
And I have one on my boat. They're awesome. You can put them around your ankle. Mm-hmm. You can put them on your wrist, you know, because when you're running the boat, you're always going to have your hand on the wheel, mm-hmm. you know, and you can do it that way. You can do it however you want. And then when you pull up to your spot and you shut the motor off, just grab a hold of it. Velcro's right off.
Yep. Yeah.
And you're done. You know, you can clip it right back to the wheel, wrap it around the wheel real quick, your steering wheel, and then you're good to go. But
And the law that Chip's mentioned is they're talking about, you know, passing a law in the state of Florida where you have to have that kill switch on.
You know?
Now, there again, there's probably some of the older boats don't have that.
Yeah.
I don't know. And maybe,
I can remember every boat I've had has had one.
Even my stump knocker where I had a tiller motor, it had one on the front of the motor.
Yeah, a little kill switch that you could attach to you.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the best ways to do it is attach it to your life jacket and wear your life jacket when you're running your boat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then when you take it off, it sits right there. And then when you go to leave again, you pop it back on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really bad about it, and I've ordered another Mustang, you know, self-inflating. You know, the older I get, you know, the more I want one. You know, and they're not that hot in the summertime. They're so small now that, you know. But, I mean, Leon's.
Oh, look here. Is this Captain Leon?
Speak of the devil.
How you doing,
Leon?
Good
morning, ladies. Good morning, ladies.
I have not thrown you under the bus.
He did not. He wouldn't do that. Yeah. So
I don't care.
So we just stopped talking about that part. But, you know, I asked him, he goes, nah, if Leon wants to call, that's good. But he wasn't going to throw you under the bus, Leon.
Hey, no kill switch was needed for my stupidity.
It wouldn't have helped you, huh?
But why didn't your remote work?
Because I didn't tighten the collar down.
So it was just spinning? Go ahead and tell the story, Leon.
Sure. I don't mind. Last week, there was a few days. What was it? Wednesday? No, Thursday. Thursday. Late afternoon charter. That southeast wind really picked up down in the valley. And for anybody that fishes in the valley, like Chip and I and Corey do religiously, when you get underneath the bridge, the wind funnels.
Oh yeah,
yep.
It can get really strong through there. And obviously we're at the full moon this weekend, and we had a pretty good low tide, and with that wind funneling through there, the current was just ripping. Now, for those of you that do not know, the Palm Valley boat ramp is nothing short of intimidating for the angle of the launch, plus you have one dock. That's it. One in, one out. That's it.
Yeah.
And it's just not pretty.
Can you hold on for 1 second, Leon?
Yeah, sure.
Can you hold on through the break?
Yeah, I don't want to rush you through that so that, you know, you can tell everybody about it.
I need plenty of rope to hang myself.
Are you fishing this morning?
I'm headed to the ramp now. Wish me luck.
All right, okay. Well, hang on.
Are you far enough away you can hold on to be okay?
I actually am just starting to get on the JTB, so I got plenty of time.
Awesome.
Okay, good deal. I'll put you on hold. I'll get you on as soon as we come back.
Do
Endurance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Endurance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Endurance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport Shrimp, Seared Tuna, and Spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com. Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, the Wizard of the Waterways, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back. Got Captain Leon Dane on here.
Yeah, Captain Chaos. Captain needs to go back and learn how to tie knots. You know?
So the wind's blowing, tide's screaming. And there's...
I had just dropped off my favorite clients, Mark and Mary, from my charter. And as we pulled in, nothing less than a 30-foot tri-hull, two bimini top pontoon boat is trying to get his trailer, boat on a trailer. And I just looked at Mark and Marin and I said, I'm going to drop you off over at PVO, and I'm going to come back and help this guy because he ain't going nowhere fast, and I don't want to be stuck on this ramp for an hour.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was brutal watching it, you know.
Yeah.
And I felt bad for the guy. I mean, first of all, I could tell he was a weekend warrior. And number two, you know, he was out there with his wife, had a great time, and then he just came back for the killing of the lambs, getting on that boat ramp, you know.
Bimini tops don't help in the wind.
Oh, my God. Not to mention those high panel walls on that
yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's a big sail.
Yes, it was. It was catching every ounce of wind there was out there. And he was just getting murdered. And he was hitting the dock, hitting the trailer, the boats. I mean, he was just beating everything to death. I'm like, all right, hang on just a second. So I was sitting there watching him on my trolling motor. So I pulled up to the dock, which is just a little small dock. And the trolling motor was down still. And I jumped off my boat and tied a hasty half hitch. And at that point, I hadn't hit my spot lock. For whatever reason, I just stepped up to help this guy.
Yeah.
And for about 5 minutes, you know, he went back and forth, and he was almost on there every time. And then the last time, you know, I'm at the back of the boat pushing outwards as we're trying to spin the boat inwards, you know, towards the dock to get it on. And he gets it on. It's like, you got it, buddy. We're great. Pull it up there. I said, all right, man, it's my turn. I turn around and go, where the hell's my boat? And I mean, I looked to the north. I looked to the south. Look back to the north again. There I see it way out there. Not underneath the bridge. It's halfway down Palm Valley outdoors.
Oh, my gosh.
In the middle of the channel, and, oh, I got this. I'm going to look like a genius. I pick up my remote, and I go, click, click, come back here to Daddy. Nothing. Maybe I'm out of range.
Uh-oh.
I run up the boat ramp, run halfway down underneath the bridge, hit it again, click, click, nothing again. And I hit the left and right, and it's not turning, and I go, oh, crap, at that moment. And I was lucky enough that Corey Sparks had just dropped his clients off at the PVO boat ramp. And I mean, I got into a sprint that this fat man's 49-year-old body has not done in a long time. And for those of you that remember that O.J. Simpson's commercial where he's running through the airport, juking and driving and stiff-arming a few people, dude, I went through a crowd of people like I was parting the Red Sea. I mean, I came down that dock, I mean, like I was on fire. And I ran down and said, Corey, get your boat running. And he goes, what's up? And I said, dude, that's my boat floating away way out there. And he goes, oh, okay. This one gets real funny. And Chip and I and Corey have been laughing about this ever since. I reached down to undo his front bow line, and one of those deckhands, dock tenders, had tied the mother of all knots on that cleat. I mean, I looked at that and went, you got to be kidding me. I mean, like 18 times around the cleat.
Oh, my gosh.
but his boat's not floating off.
Yeah, I was just saying, he probably saw yours. He probably saw yours and thought, I better tie this one good.
What do they say? If you can't tie a knot, tie a lot.
Good Lord. I swear, it looked like a giant, it looked like 10 pounds of spaghetti tied around the cleat. I yell at Corey, what the hell were you thinking when you tied this damn thing? And he goes, it wasn't me, man. It was the dock man.
Wow.
So, I'm sitting there. I said, we get untied. We start motoring out after the boat. And, of course, there's well over 100 people out there on the bar, all shooting pictures, pointing, laughing. You know, and I'm sitting there going, Jesus, man. Corey's like, smile for the camera, Leon. Oh, God. Damn it. He goes, this will be on Facebook before you know it.
Oh, man. Oh, that's priceless.
He motors me over. I jump on, big old standing ovation. I'm like,
oh, boy.
Don't even want to look.
That's when you vacate quickly.
Yeah.
Did you
want to look up at the bar.
I was going to say, did you go put the boat on the trailer, or did you just take off and head to a creek?
I put it on the trailer and went home.
Yeah, he didn't stick around for that one.
Yeah, I was not walking back through that crowd a second time. Yeah, typical case of no good deed goes unpunished.
Yep, that's it. Well, I'm glad it didn't get damaged out there. So it was going away from the bridge, undoubtedly?
It was going north to Alaska.
Oh, okay.
Nonstop.
It's a good thing Ty wasn't going out to carry you around that bridge pilings or something.
That'll whack me against every dock down to the south, you're right.
Glad to hear it didn't hit anything. You got through okay.
If somebody would have come by and just run it over the way they drive through Palm Valley.
Oh, man.
I've had to put Vic on mute on doing reports in the morning to yell at somebody who's plowing through. You know,
you get the trawlers.
Well, you get and there's so many people, they just don't slow down, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, it takes them 5 minutes to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you'll see docks tied up with their anchor lights on and their running lights at the dock, and these people in the morning wanting to hit St. Augustine to go offshore.
Mm-hmm.
They don't care.
Yeah.
They just, they're wide open through there.
Yep.
You know, so. Yeah.
When you got great weather on Sunday, Saturday or Sunday, of course, I don't fish on Saturdays, but on Sundays, when I'm out there, you have all these people leaving Fort George Inlet, the sandbars. Mm-hmm. Same thing. They come plowing through there. Some of them come on plane. Some of them are just off plane, but the bow is way up, so they push a 2-foot wave. And it's just crazy. I mean, sometimes you go out there and look, and it's like 30 boats going by at one time.
Yeah.
I'm like, golly. I mean, I couldn't imagine what Fort George Inlet looks like with all those boats in there, you know?
Yeah, I love being in here on Saturdays.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, I got my favorite client, another great client today. Chip, you can tell Vic all about him when I get off the air. And we got an all-dayer today. So,
is this the crab guy?
Yep, that's the crab guy.
Okay.
Okay. So.
Yep.
Well, I hope you have good luck. Hope you have good luck with him. Catch him up while you're out there.
Keep him away from the crabs.
I'm about to say, shit, I'm going to throw a bag of a box of crabs in the boat and see what happens.
All right, Leon, good luck today, buddy.
Hey, thanks for calling,
guys.
Thanks for calling, man. That's a great story.
You know what they say, if you can't laugh at yourself,
yep,
don't even start.
There yep. you go. I know. And maybe picture that what Chip said a minute ago. If you can't tie a knot, tie a lot.
Yeah, right.
I'm sure Chip's got those photos of my. They took photos of me and they quickly appeared.
He showed so. Me. That's why I was asking him. He goes, "No, I'm not gonna talk about it.
I'm not gonna do it.
If Leon calls, that's different. But I'm not gonna throw him under the bus."
Oh no, you got to do that to each other. That's what friends are for.
Yeah.
Hey, buddy, want to talk about this? We do.
That's great, Leon.
So you, all right, y'all have a good one.
All right, buddy.
You have a good day today. Hope you get on them.
Thanks, man.
All right, thank you.
So the guy he's talking about today, I've taken fishing.
Yeah.
And he's a guy that knows everything.
Oh, yeah.
Everything. I mean, he's mm-hmm. one of those guys that, you know, you're like, you might as well just say, hey, where do you want to go?
Yeah.
What do you want to do? What do you want to fish with? So Leon, you know, likes to use crab like we do mm-hmm. when we fish them for redfish. So Leon's like, oh, I'm going to grab a crab. And the guy goes, I'll get one. And Leon said, you don't want to reach in there and grab one. He's like, I know what I'm doing. Well, he reaches in and latches onto his finger.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy starts screaming. Well, then he grabs the crab with the other hand and gets the other finger bit. So now he's got one crab on each finger. He's tied up and he's screaming and Leon is rolling laughing. It's like, I told you not to touch him. He's like, I'm going to get it off. You know? Oh goodness. It was funny. It's some of the stuff that happens out there. I think it's just us. I mean, it's between Corey and Leon and I, when we get done, a lot of times we'll go up and have lunch at PVO Outdoors mm-hmm. Palm Valley Outdoors. Their food is so good. You know, and sit up there and just kind of, you know, boat's already pulled up. We've already cleaned fish and having lunch. And then the stories, the bartenders are laughing at us because it's like, but anyway.
Yeah, that was funny when he said, I got a standing ovation when I got in the boat.
And they were busy. When I came in yesterday, I didn't get in till late. But, I mean, that place was packed.
Oh, boy.
You know, and
that's
weather,
when it happened was yesterday?
Yeah, and the weather's beautiful.
Yeah, so everybody's outside.
Yeah, so, oh, my goodness.
That's funny. That is funny.
Well, thank you, Vic.
Hey, appreciate it, sir. Appreciate you coming in again, man.
Hopefully we have a surprise guest for next week.
Yep. I hope he makes it in here.
Waiting to hear back. Educational.
That'd be good. Have plenty of good information if he comes in.
Yeah.
So I hope he makes it, and you know, just talk to him, see if he will, and you know, get you in here. So anyway, appreciate everybody calling in, or appreciate Leon calling in. I say everybody. I appreciate everybody listening, and of course, as always, appreciate all of our sponsors.
Thank you, Alan.
Be sure to you know, visit our sponsors. They're the ones that keeps us on the air. So, anyway, we'll be back next week.
Be safe out there, people.
Yes, sir.